Matthew 2, no notes tonight, but you may want to jot a few things down. I think I'll be super practical this evening. I want to talk to you on this topic. I want to talk to you about avoiding the holiday temptations. Y'all ready for that? Okay. Talking about now, this time of year, many a noble effort at health, wellness, fitness, and weight loss has been laid waste by a plate of Christmas cookies or some other goodies that may be piled around. So those are some temptations that everyone faces this time of year. But we're not going to talk about that tonight. Do you realize, and I thought about this, I was thinking about this recently, that for Christians, ironically enough, there are unique temptations that each of us face during the time when we're supposed to be drawing nearer to Christ. And it's a time for many of us, not for all, but for many of us, that we set aside time to think and reflect on the incarnation, the Savior's birth, and whether you can do that any time of year, but it's for many of us, it's a nice time of year where we focus on that. And really, the society around us, many, even people that are not regular practicing Christians, their hearts and minds are toward Bethlehem, toward the manger, toward the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. But at a time when the focus is for us to be drawing near, for us to be drawing closer, there are unique temptations that sometimes I've found in my own life, and you may have found in your life. There are temptations unique to this holiday season, even to the Christmas season. I want to talk about that tonight, and I want to be brief, and I want to just give us some really practical things that we can be on guard against and how we can plan to have a Christmas time that actually where our hearts and our spirits are drawn closer to the Lord. That would be a good goal, amen, that through this time the Lord would draw us near. So let's think about this tonight, and let's begin by reading a familiar story in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, we come to the story of the wise men as people that were seeking to draw near to Jesus. It says in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew, now when Jesus, you got a Bible, make sure you open your Bible, everyone, grab a pew Bible if you don't have one, everyone should have a Bible tonight, there you go, share with somebody next to you, or something like that. We'll wait for you to get there, bud. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 in your Bible. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now you read the even verses with me, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. What is going on? Verse number 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Verse number 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And I'll finish with verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you'd help us this evening as we look at your word. I pray that you would help us to prepare our hearts to draw close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think at this time, we think of all the people that came and drew near to the manger, and then a couple of years or months perhaps later when these wise men came from the land of Persia, they came, and we think about shepherds, and we think about wise men, and we think about all the people that, the angels, and they came to worship and draw near to Jesus. So the first thing I thought of as I thought of this, as I reflected on this passage and thought about the Christmas season, the first temptation that we've all got to avoid is one that you've probably faced before many times in your life, and that is the temptation to get too busy to worship. Right? The temptation to just get too busy to worship. And that's a temptation for all of us. I thought about these wise men, right? These wise men took a significant portion of their time and a significant portion of their life, not to mention their money, and they packed up everything. And they hit the camels, and they traveled across the deserts days and weeks and months, and they diligently sought out to find where Jesus was. And for us, I know sometimes this, especially if you're parents, sometimes this time of year can be the busiest season of all. Even if you're busy preparing for the work of the Lord, we're reminded of the story of Martha and Mary, aren't we? Even being busy about good things can distract us. When Jesus said to Martha, he said, "Why are you troubled?" And Martha complains about Mary, how she's not doing anything, and she's just sitting there listening to Jesus. But Jesus says that Mary has chosen that good thing. And if we're not careful in this time where we're supposed to be celebrating and drawing closer to Jesus, maybe we begin to neglect our time in the Word of God. Maybe we neglect even church attendance sometimes, and we begin to neglect these things. Well, how do we, let's think about it. How do we have hearts like the wise men? We have hearts that want to draw near to Christ. Do you have, well, let me just ask you, how many of you have found that temptation to be true? You've gotten to maybe Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, it's here, it's there, and you say, you know what? I have not spent a whole lot of time really thinking about Jesus. Has anybody ever had that happen to them, or just I'm the only wicked sinner here tonight? All right, there are about four of us, folks, so we'll be the outcasts and ostracized. Yeah, it happens. It can happen to us. But I thought about a couple of things, you know, and just a couple of really super practical things to help us out here tonight. How about if that's our heart, if our desire is to avoid that temptation, how about we say, you know what, I'm going to come up with a plan this time of year for my personal devotions, right? Simple, practical step like that. I'm just going to say, you know what, I'm going to make a plan to do this. How many of you have like some kind of technology where you have that like Bible app on your phone? Who's got that? Come on, a lot of people don't want to raise their hands tonight because I know more do than that. All right. So yeah, you've got that. You know that you can, if you find that your Bible reading or something has been neglected or you're a little bit stale, you know, you can go on there and you can find a Bible reading plan just for Christmas time. If you don't, and it'll take you through all the passages. You can go to the Christian bookstore, or you can order online a little devotional book just for the Christmas season. Things that we can do practically to say, you know what, I'm just going to make it a point to spend some time. I'm going to think about these things, and that'll take you. I actually picked up one of those reading plans recently. I was amazed at how it was taking me to passages of Scripture that I completely, totally never expected to go to that were part of preparing our hearts. And I'll be honest with you, with the hectic nature and the busyness of my move, I fell behind in that reading plan that I'd got on. And so, but that happens to all of us. We've got to say, you know what? This is a time I've got a purpose. I've got a plan to draw near to the Lord, just like the wise men did. They planned on it. How about we use this time? I don't know if you, in your home, if you're real faithful with family devotions, if you have children, or even just husband and wife at home, or someone that you live that you hopefully not live with in that kind of a way, but somebody that you maybe see on a regular basis, that you could use this as a time to practice devotions with someone, and to come together with your family or with a fellow believer to draw close to the Lord, to plan spiritual time. I know many families have have different Christmas traditions where maybe on Christmas Eve they'll sit together and read the Christmas story or maybe read portions of the Scripture throughout the month as we approach that. But I'd encourage you to do something like that and make it a plan to do that. But we can very easily become too busy to worship. How about just learning real simple things in life like, I can't go everywhere I want to go. I can't do everything I'd like to do. But sometimes I just have to say no. I can't do that this year. I can't go there. I can't make it to that. I'm not going to be able to do that because it's going to distract me from what I really need to be focusing on. Boy, that's a good principle throughout all of life, not just this time of year. But the time to say, sometimes we have to say no even to things that are good, right? We say no to things that are good so that we can make time for the things that are better, the things that are needful. It says, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to what? We've come to worship. The first temptation that we could face is to be too busy for worship. Well, what's the second one that I thought of? When the wise men came, they came to worship, but a very significant part of their worship was what? They're known for this more than anything. The what? The gifts. The gifts. In fact, that's our tradition of the giving of gifts. While it may be rooted in lots of different things, we often think of it and link it back to the story of the wise men who came and they presented gifts to Jesus. And as we give gifts one to another. So I thought the temptation then for us, we could be too busy for worship, or we could become too greedy for giving. Too greedy for giving. Have you ever seen that with your, have you ever seen a child, even maybe a good kid, at Christmas time, just get a little bit too caught up in the good stuff they were going to get? Have you seen that before? Yeah? I mean, just a little bit too focused on the presents and all the good stuff that they were going to accumulate. And you know, we even as adults have to prepare ourselves for that. That as we talk and talk about this is a season of giving, sometimes parents even, while we may think that we're giving to our children out of generosity or because of this, sometimes even our giving is a form of self-gratification. Am I right there? Am I wrong? Okay, I'm right. It's good. I'm glad. All right? Because it can be. It can be that, and parents sometimes feel an unnecessary pressure because that their kids' presents are going to be compared to the other kids' presents and all of that kind of stuff. Well, all of that is just materialism, right? All of that is just greed. The point is we need to purpose. Well, there's a couple of things. But I thought about the greatest gifts that we ought to the greatest gifts we ought to give ought to be to the Lord. Amen. But what a shame sometimes in churches, now not always, but sometimes in churches across America, right after Christmas are when offerings can come down. Well, we've got a plan that say, Lord, don't let that happen to me. Don't let me be that. So first of all, we've got a budget. Our gifts to the Lord, right? I mean, and everyone gives in different ways, but we'll take a special Christmas offering for missions. We just gave our faith promise, and we do things like that at this time of year. Well, it's important for us to say, you know what, Lord, before I spend, I'm not going to let the gifts that I buy for my family, I'm not going to let the gifts that I buy for my friends or for these people, I'm not going to let that. I'm not going to insult you, God, by taking from you to give to someone else, right? But it happens because we, even if we're giving the gifts, we can become too greedy for giving. So I'd say, practically speaking, I told you this would be real practical, but let's like I said, budget those gifts to the Lord. What am I going to do for the Lord's kingdom this year? How am I going to use my generosity for others? So budget our gifts to the Lord. Maybe it's going to be in the missions offering. Maybe it's going to be in some other way, an extra gift to the church or to purchase something for the ministry. There's all kinds of ways that we can give to the Lord. And then also, let's be generous to others. Right? It was great. Yesterday, I was here at the church, and my dad came in with this big bag of stuff. Big bag of stuff. And this happens every year. But he comes in with this big bag of toys. Probably 5 or 6 big, nice toys. And somebody in the church had gone out and bought a few gifts and said, "Pastor, you know," and you know, I don't know exactly what they said, but they said, "Pastor, you know who in the church, or maybe kids that ride the bus, you know who might need these things, and we want to buy them, and we want you to give those." That's awesome, isn't it? And that happens. That's definitely not the first time. Many people have done that over the years. But let's learn that. And then let's also learn as families, and this can be difficult, but it's absolutely essential, we have to learn to teach contentment and generosity to our children. We have to endeavor to do that. And grandparents as well have to help out with this. Sometimes, I tell you, with my kids, and my kids are sitting there, they're like, "Be quiet, Dad, don't say this stuff," right? No, they're not. But at, you know, they've got parents that want to get them some stuff. And they got 2 sets of grandparents that want to get them stuff. They've got great-grandparents. They've got aunts and uncles on both sides. And boy, they've got a slew of aunts and uncles. Now, some of that's all been cut down. But if we're not careful, Christmas becomes, you go here, open a load of gifts. You go here, you open some more, you open some more, you open some more. And Deborah and I kind of look at ourselves sometimes. And of course, we don't want to rob any of the family of the joy of giving either, because we know that's fun, it's part of the festivity. But at the same time, we just want to be like, "Whoa, let's hang on for a second here," right? And there's a balance there. It's a fun time, and we enjoy it all, but it's important that we take time to teach and to model contentment. Listen, it's a really horrible, it'd be a really horrible thing, Mom or Dad, for you to go into debt for Christmas. You know, it'd be a really horrible thing. Because people that are in debt, the Bible says, are slaves to the people that they're in debt to. And when you're in debt, it hinders, it hurts your joy. It robs your financial freedom to be able to give to the Lord and to give to others. So be careful about that. Don't get so caught up in, and I know it's cliche, but don't get caught up in the commercialization of this holiday season. Be on guard against that. And prepare. Now, there are always people that take that to what I think would be an unhealthy extreme, and they don't allow their kids or their families to enjoy anything in life, whether it be at a birthday or celebration or anything. They're going to, you know, hold the line and teach them to be responsible. Well, the Lord also gives to us lavishly and generously, doesn't He? Whether we do that at Christmas or at a birthday, there's all kinds of different. I'm not telling anyone how to raise their family in the specifics, but I am saying find ways to model generosity and lavish grace on them, but also teach contentment and satisfaction and generosity themselves. And then here's one that is a, I think, often overlooked opportunity that we have as we think about being generous. Use your generosity to be a witness. Use generosity to be a witness. We had opportunities a few years in the neighborhood where we lived in Bennington. Deborah would spend a day making boxes and boxes of Christmas cookies. Lots and lots and lots and lots of them. And a few years, we would go around. We did this a couple of times. We would go to all the neighbors on our street. Fortunately, we had a nice little street. And we would go to all the neighbors on the street, and there'd be a little nice wrapped box of cookies with a Christmas gospel tract in there. And we would just go and we'd say, "Hey, we want you to have this. This is for your family." We didn't show up at their door and preach a sermon to them or anything like that. But we can use generosity as an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord, can't we? I mean, you'll have coworkers that through an act of generosity, you can witness to them. You can. Now, it's important that we don't give gifts with ulterior motives, and because people can see through that. It's got to be sincere. It's got to be genuine. But at the same time, we should use our money. We should use our resources. Something I'd like to do next year, Aaron and I went to a conference a few weeks ago and heard a couple churches did this really awesome outreach focus for the Christmas season. And the church gave out to every member, all the folks in the church got what they called rack cards. Well, what's a rack card? Well, on that card, it was very similar to like the Christmas cards we give out, but it's rack stands for Random Act of Christmas Kindness. And what they did is they put just a little bit of the gospel presentation on that card, and it said something on that card. It said, "You are receiving this card from somebody from whatever Baptist church, wherever it was, who cares for you this Christmas season." And there'd be a little gospel message right on there. And they told people to take those cards, and when they're in the line at Dunkin' Donuts, pay for the person behind you and say to the cashier, here's one for you, and give this card to the next person. Let them know that, don't tell them my name, but let them know that what their order is paid for. And to do, they encourage their church to go out and do random acts of generosity, random acts of kindness, and to connect that with a witness, with a testimony to the Lord. Isn't that a great idea? I love that. I think we'll, Lord willing, plan to do something like that next year. But you don't have to have a card from the church to do something like that, do you? You don't have to have a big organized thing to do it. You can do that. We can be generous. We can be giving. We can use that. You know, and you say, well, I don't know if you should really do that. Well, listen to what Proverbs 18:16 says. Proverbs 18:16 says this: "A man's gift maketh room for him. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men." It's amazing. Since we moved into our house, our new house, we had a neighbor stop by and bring us a thing of soup. And some cornbread, just a nice little meal to stop by and bring that. And you know, that makes quite an impression, doesn't it? How many of you had somebody do that, something like that for you before? It's like, wow, makes you feel welcome, makes you feel important, makes you feel cared about. And Christians, we ought to be some of the most generous people in those kinds of ways. We ought to be some of the people that are willing to give of ourselves. And sometimes it's that gift, it's that act of kindness or generosity that opens the door for us to give the gospel. It's been said before, I'm going to get the quote wrong. What is it? They want people don't want to hear what you have to say. They want to know that you care. Who knows the quote that I'm looking for there? There you go. People don't care what you know unless they know that you care. And there's truth to that. There's truth to that statement. So let's be generous. Let's not let our own focus and our own families and our own events and activities, let's not let that crowd in. Let's be like the wise men, and in different ways and different opportunities, give to the Lord as a form of worship. So three simple temptations that we need to watch out for. Don't get too busy to worship, and don't get too greedy for giving. And then lastly, can you believe it? Lastly, here we go. Don't get too worldly to be a witness. Don't get too worldly to be a witness. Now, for this one, we're going to have to leave this passage, although there is a very, very worldly character in this story that we just read. And who is that? It's Herod. I mean, you don't get much more worldly than that. To think about the fact that the God of heaven is about to be incarnated in your kingdom over which you have jurisdiction, but all Herod could focus on was himself, protecting his turf, protecting what he had, protecting his power. Well, I don't think that's necessarily the big danger for us as Christians, but you know, there were also all kinds of people around Judea that were just oblivious to what was going on. They didn't know. Now, some by no fault of their own, but remember, the shepherds, what did they do? They went out, and they started preaching. They started telling people. They were just so excited about what they had seen before them. They had to let everyone know. But I believe that there is a danger for Christians to fall into worldliness at this time of year. Well, what's the danger? Listen, I'm not too naive to realize that Christians struggle with worldliness, and sometimes serious worldliness, the kind of worldliness that takes place at holiday parties, Christmas parties, company parties, all kinds of things that many Christians will be invited to at this time of year. Some Christians who've made decisions to live a certain way, to follow the Lord faithfully, you may find yourself in a situation of temptation to worldliness. Go ahead to Romans 13. This will be the last passage that we look at tonight. Romans 13. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Now this is what all of us, I believe, hopefully we are endeavoring. This is the life we are trying to live. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Is that a goal that you have? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day. Now look at what Christians in the early church were dealing with. Look at what their temptations were. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in, what's it say? Rioting. What is rioting? That's not rioting. It's not like, you know, let's all go down to the city square and put on a riot. That's not the kind of riot. What is rioting? Partying. The other old English word used for it is revelings or even banquetings. He says, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. Those have an impure connotation to them. Not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this last part. And make not what? Provision for the flesh. You've heard that before, right? You may have been warned, don't feed the flesh. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Our flesh has desires. We understand that, right? Our flesh has sinful desires and sinful longings. As Christians, I want the young people to listen carefully as well. We have desires that are there, desires to do things that are impure, desires to do things that are wrong, and that's the struggle that we encounter as Christians. And while those temptations are there, year-round, there are certain times of year where I've observed people begin to say, well, it's okay just this once. Have you seen that, Dad, over the years at different events? You see that all kinds of strange times. You see that at weddings, ironically. At weddings, where good Christian people let the booze start to flow. Okay? And I'm talking to real people here, all right? Where it happens. Christmas parties, New Year's parties, where good Christian people say, well, it's just this once. Listen, you might be a teenager here, and maybe your mom or dad don't always come to church. They may even say, hey, it's Christmas. You can have a little this time of year. How many of you grew up that way? Okay? All right. Okay. So I'm always trying to be careful that I'm not the naive, you know, kid that just grew up sheltered life and trying to understand how the world works here, right? So, yeah. You might have grown up that way. Some of you may be in families like that. Well, yeah, it's Christmas. Listen, Christians, if there's ever a time for us, there's always a time not to be worldly, but my goodness, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. Or you come to times like weddings. My goodness, this is a picture of Christ and his bride. If there's ever a time to be holy and reverent and give honor to the Lord and to be holy, surely these are times to let our light shine so brightly that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven, as Matthew said, as Jesus said in the book of Matthew. So, but expect the temptation to be there, okay? We're not going to avoid all temptations. Now, I'll talk about that in just a minute. But expect the temptation to be there. Prepare for it to be there. Listen, some of us, you may work at a company and there may be a holiday party where there's going to be alcohol there. Expect that temptation. It may happen. How about this one? Accept invitations discerningly. Accept invitations discerningly. Some of you are laughing at me because you know what invitations you may have got. You may get some of those invitations. And listen, it doesn't matter how strong you are or how long you've been a Christian. There are probably some places that you just shouldn't show up, that you just probably ought to avoid completely and entirely. Accept invitations discerningly. And then, lastly, how about make a plan of escape? How many of you found yourself somewhere where all of a sudden it ended up a little bit differently than you thought it would, or it happened a little bit faster than you thought, and now you're there? And you got, listen, it's way better to make an awkward exit than to ruin your testimony for the Lord. It's way better for Aunt Frida to be upset with you than for you to ruin your testimony for the Lord. It just is. I mean, honestly. Now, you could do both, though. You could keep Aunt Frida happy, and you could honor your testimony if you make a plan. You're like, I can't believe you're talking about this. Yeah, I'm talking super practically speaking here. How about you say, you know what? If we get there, when this starts to happen, this is what we're going to do. Or you say, you know what? Well, we'll be able to come to the family Christmas gathering, but we know what happens after 9 o'clock, so we're going to have other plans for 9 o'clock. Right? And you're like, oh, you're kind of being a little pedantic here. Listen, Christian people all the time find themselves in a place where they never had a way to escape. They never thought through it. This is where this is going to happen. And somebody could just say, hey, hello, anybody home? I could have told you this is what was about to happen. So my wife and I, we've gone to holiday parties hosted by bosses. And you know what? It was just a plan. Hey, when people start to get a little bit like they shouldn't be, that's when we're going to leave. That's when we go. You go, you eat the food, you have the desserts, bye, gotta go, I'm leaving, all right? And listen, I understand. Now, I will say this, we have Christian liberty, right? So, but if you're a person who's struggled with alcohol, if you're a person who's dealt with something like that, it may be best for you just to say, you know what, this year I'm just not going to the party at all. I'm just not going to be there. Now, I understand there's Christian liberty, and in our sense, that's not something I've ever struggled with, and we wanted the opportunity to meet and to talk with some of the people that my wife has worked with, so we were there, but there was a point where that thing ended up, it was no longer just a friendly coworker get-together, but the mood was starting to change. We had a plan that this is the time where we're going to leave. But listen, especially for newer Christians or young Christians, don't be surprised if somebody tries to get you to start using to have alcohol at that party. It's going to happen, and they will watch, and they will observe. Wait, and listen, the world would like nothing more than, and the devil would like nothing more than for a Christian to stumble in front of watching souls who need the gospel. It's a battle. That's what we're in. It's important. So let's be prepared for that. Let's know what we're going to do. Let's know what we're going to say ahead of time before it gets there. Be ready. Now, I say that because I assume that all of our desire is, as it should be all year, but our desire is to grow closer to the Lord, right? We're not looking for opportunities to kind of, it's not like some people have this idea like, and this is a more religious mindset than a relationship with Christ mindset, but people that have a religious mindset are looking for opportunities to kind of cheat on the diet, so to speak. And sometimes worldly people, they don't understand our relationship with the Lord. And I've heard worldly people say things like that. Well, it's okay, just now, just a little bit here. Just, this is, nobody church is going to know. None of that's going to matter. Well, the Lord knows. And they know. And that's who we want to seek to please. And so I believe these are real temptations. if not all of them, one at least one of them you may face this Christmas season. Don't get too busy to worship the Lord. Make a plan to draw near to Him. Don't get too greedy to give to Him, but like the wise men, plan to offer great gifts to Him and be generous. And don't let worldliness creep in. Don't let your guard down. Don't get lax. But as the Scripture says, let us put on the armor of light. Walk honestly as in the day. Amen? I hope that's a help to you tonight. Nothing real, real profound there, but I hope that it encourages you, and I hope that you, I pray that our whole church, that we grow closer to the Lord this season, and that we see others come to know Him as Savior. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? To come up to the Christmas Eve service, to see people here get saved, to have seen other people come to know Him, and that's what it's all about. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Thanks for being here. Lord, we love You. We thank You for for Your Word and how it speaks to us. I pray that You'd help us to be on guard, Lord, to walk close to You and to use this time to draw near and to love You more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.